Radium Dial knew that she was sickly and, as they had done with Margaret Looney, they were keeping a close eye on her. Yet the vacation hadn't helped, and so her job eventually had been changed. Her work now, in addition to weighing, was to scrape out the compound from the girls' dishes, often simply using her fingernails. As was to be expected, her bare hands became luminous bright, and as it was her habit to run them through her hair, her whole head glowed fiercely. If anything, she often thought, when she peered at herself in a mirror in a dark bathroom, the new job got her even more covered in radium than the old one had. It wasn't as fun as painting had been, but then again Radium Dial was different. Most of Catherine's clique had left by now. Only she, Marie Rossiter, and Marguerite Leczinski remained. Catherine tried to see her new role as a promotion. The radium was very valuable, so to be the worker chosen to distribute and salvage it was an accomplishment. After 8 years' employment, she was one of the most trusted workers. Even so, she knew some girls gossiped about the reason for the change in her duties. "I believe," said one of her colleagues, "she was transferred from dial painting because she was a poor worker." Not so poor that she didn't still paint some dials, Catherine thought defensively. Every week there seemed to be some emergency order that required an extra pair of hands. Then Catherine would slip her brush between her lips, dip it in the powder and paint. The girls all still did it that way at Radium Dial, for their instructions were never changed. There was a sudden movement in the studio. Catherine looked up to see the girls going for medical tests. Catherine stood up to join them, but Mr. Reed intercepted her easily. "I was excluded from the examination," Catherine remembered. "Mr. Reed told me not to go." She had asked Mr. Reed personally several times now for examination by the company doctors, but was always refused. She'd gone to a local physician, and he told her that her limp was caused by rheumatism. Catherine felt she was too young for that. She was only 27. "I knew I was suffering from some disease, but what it was I did not know," she said in frustration. At least, she thought, as she sat back down again with a heavy sigh, none of it had put off Tom Donahue. She gave a little smile at the thought of him. One day soon, she knew, they would marry. She allowed herself to daydream a little. Maybe they would have a family, though you couldn't assume what blessings God would give you. Marie Rossiter had lost 2 babies already. She just discovered she was pregnant for the 3rd time, and Catherine prayed fervently that this baby would survive. Charlotte Purcell and her husband, Al, too, had had a terrible time. They'd had a son, Donald, nicknamed Buddy, in August last year, but he'd come 2 months early and weighed only 2.5 pounds. The doctors had kept him in an incubator for 6 weeks. At last, the little trooper had pulled through. As Catherine sat lonely at her desk, the other girls gone to be examined, she felt disappointed at Mr. Reed's rejection of her plea. Maybe she should do what Inez Valla had done, she thought lightly. Inez had gone to the Mayo Clinic in Minnesota for examination on account of her bad headaches and locking hips. Though she was only 23, Inez was unable to work at all now. She'd lost 20 pounds over the past year and looked as skinny as anything when Catherine had seen her in church. More worryingly, her teeth had started coming loose, and she now had an infected mouth. Inez had to hold the bandage constantly to her seeping jaw. It was a bit like what Peg Looney had suffered, though she had died of diphtheria. Poor old Peg. She still missed her dreadfully. Catherine possibly didn't know it, but Peg's family had consulted a lawyer to bring suit against Radium Dial, just as Ella Cruz's parents had done. The Cruz case, incidentally, was still no further forward.